Well, thank you for the beautiful song. That was nice. I appreciate that. I don't really feel any grumpier. A little more determined than ever because the time's always shorter as you march along here on this road of righteousness. And I'll tell you, it's really something to realize that the days are numbered. That's both good and bad. It's good for those who are doing the will of God, and it's real bad for those that aren't because, you know, destruction is just around the corner. And praise the Lord, we don't have to be destroyed. There are those that need to be, and you can be sure they will. But anyway, praise God, here we are, ready to go again in the book of Isaiah. At least I hope you are, I am. But I did want to properly thank you for the singing. That was real nice. And we're going to be opening to the fourth chapter. And I covered some of this. I want to get farther into it. I was commenting just a moment ago that things are progressing so rapidly. We're approaching the end of the world. When I say the end of the world, you have to understand what I mean by that. We're looking at the end of this age, the end of this time where the Antichrist has been running wild, the powers of darkness and illuminism have captivated the world. There's going to come a swift and powerful judgment from God. Now that's good news. That's part of the gospel. Amen. The destruction of the ungodly. And we should be glad. We should be thankful. Haven't you been beaten down enough times? Haven't you been challenged? Haven't you gone through enough? I don't know. Maybe you love this present world. I don't think so, but I'll tell you, I don't. I'm busy fighting the powers of darkness. And I appreciate people like you who are in the battle. Thank God. We all need to take up the cause of the Lord and serve Him faithfully and let people know things are not all well and good as they tell us, that we can't believe what we are told by the world, by that system, because we know otherwise. And the reason we know otherwise is we have knowledge from above. I believe we know what we know because the Almighty has shown it to us. Amen. Have you talked to people who you're not on the same page with them? You're not even on the same wavelength? They can't understand a word you're saying when you begin to talk about what's happening and what God is doing and what the enemy is doing. We have to know all those things, you know. Otherwise, you've got kind of one-sided information line. But people just don't have a clue what's going on. I watch hordes of people walk back and forth. It's really something to people watch. I don't know if you've ever done that? And the expressions on their faces, they are just totally programmed. They're somewhere else. They're way out there somewhere. Strange thing is, they think you're way out there somewhere. Which tells us that God has put a difference between them and you. Between the children of light and the children of darkness. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Amen. You know, I keep getting things in the mail. Everybody from all over keeps sending me things, and I'm thankful for it. Because there's a lot of information out there, but it's strange how one particular week I'll get all kinds of information on the mark of the beast, or I'll get all kinds of information on the ecumenical movement or the UN activities. This week seemed to be smart card week. And people totally unrelated from each other been sending things. There's a man that attends Iowa State University sent me this paper that they have, and it says here, the card is coming. And there's a story in there about all the things that their new student ID is going to do for them. It serves as just about everything. And I don't have time to tell you all the details, but as I go through this, I'm going to highlight some areas and put together a little report. And you can have that. Then another person sent me this one. Get set, smart cards are coming to America. I mean, these things all arrive the same day, from one end of the country to the other end of the country. And they come in batches. It's like by subject. I'm just amazed at how this is working. But This one, this article tells us that, it says, imagine carrying a single smart card that combines the functions of your credit card, driver's license, parking pass, passport, company security card. Although widely accepted in Europe, smart cards have a low profile on this side of the pond. That is about to change. Here's why. And he's got a lengthy article on it, just a lot of information there. And it's well backed up. Europe is just taken over by this system already. And we've got other things. This one came in also. This was a seminar that was going to be held at Iowa State University. It was rescheduled. That's why it says rescheduled across the front. I don't expect you to see that from where you are, to see this thing, because unless you've got outstanding eyes. But anyway, this little seminar that was going to be held is about intelligent transportation systems that they're setting up. In other words, you've got relays to satellites that connect with smart highway signs. You can program your trip. You can say, for an example, let's say I wanted to leave Beaver Dam and go to Toronto. All right, this system would tell me all the roads to take. It would prompt me and tell me when to turn and where to turn. It would know every mile of the way where I was, you know, out in space. So they would know exactly where I was at any given time, any given mile, to the tenth of a mile, whatever. They'd know precisely where you are. Now, I don't like that. Do you know how many people would like that? They'd say, Toronto or New York or Los Angeles, I'll get lost. I don't know my way around. This way, I can get in my little car, and Big Brother is going to get me right to my destination. Hassle-free, trouble-free. Sure, I got to give up my privacy. Sure, they're watching me all the time. You ever wonder about that Illuminati eye? Huh? Why is it an eye? See, they can watch you every minute. And this is actually happening. They're actually working on this project. They're going to know where you are all the time. Okay, so it's already actually being done. Okay, these changeable message signs on the freeway will tell people what to do, where to go. Cameras are set up all along the roadsides. Milwaukee, in fact, has hidden cameras in the interchanges, in the areas there. They're already there. And they can tell how many people are in your car. See, we've often been told, isn't it awful in the Soviet Union? Of course, that's been changed now, but it's still there, really. But they said every 3 miles as you go down the road, you had to stop at a checkpoint, and a guard came out and looked in your car to see who was there, and so forth. See, that doesn't work in this country. Can you imagine stopping every car every 3 miles in these interstates? Huh? They didn't have that many cars over there to worry about. But now, they don't need to. They can know who's in your car, when you started, where you're going. So they'd love to know where you're heading. To keep track of you, it's all in a computer. Your whole life is before them. It adjusts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. The technology that's out there is incredible, and there you can be sure if it's there, they're using it. So this kind of stuff is really telling us. I mean, how many signs does a guy need? You know, how blind can a person be? You tell them, and you tell them, and some people say, "Well, it's a wonderful thing." Just think, I won't have to even worry about a map anymore. I can just tell them where I want to go and they'll get me there. They'll get you there if they want you to get there. Ruth?
Anybody here who works with computers will tell you sometimes it makes things more complicated. And I mean, there are so many variables, like in the highway,
especially if you've got a zenith. Okay, I'll explain that sometime. But yeah, you know, you could little diversion there. You could end up way out yonder somewhere. Well, anyway, yeah, there are things happening that just amaze me. And I like to take a minute sometimes and tell you these things. I do have something to hand out. I always like to bring some goodies along, you know, that you can take home with you and use. And I made about a dozen packets here. And I think from counting, that's just about going to be enough. And I got to be sure that Bill gets one or he'll scalp me because he's he's got to have everything, you know. But anyway, it's pick on Bill night. Yeah. It's pick on Bill night, I guess. But this was sent to me. I've got, as I said, I have correspondents all over the country and other parts of the world. And it's amazing what you get out of some of these other nations, things they know that nobody here knows. But anyway, this was sent to me, and it's a little map here. Are we losing America to UN control? I think we know the answer to that. This map shows where the UN biospheres are. These little circles with a UN in it, that shows where they currently are, and they also have a listing on the bottom of 18 more that aren't on the map yet. 18, that's three sixes. That's kind of interesting, too. But one thing that is on this page that really arrested my attention was a quote by Dr. Henry Kissinger. You know who he is. And we know that the name Kissinger adds up to 666, which I think is another little indicator. See, God gives us little indicators, doesn't he? Do you think the Lord would tell us to watch and pray and then give us nothing to watch or nothing to pray about? They keep telling us it's peace, it's ecumenism. Promise keepers are going to tie it all together. The Pope in Rome is going to say his blessings and everything. We have one big world church and everybody will be happy. The Lord told us to watch and he told us to pray. And there are things to pray about and there are things to watch for. And we better be watching. And if you're watching, you will pray. Because you will feel compelled to pray. Amen. Listen to this quote. Now, this quote is very interesting. It was taken from a meeting held in Evian, France. This was in 1992, May 21st to be exact. This was transcribed from a tape recording made by one of the Swiss delegates at a Bilderbergers meeting. All right? You know what the Bilderbergers are? No, that's not a fast food restaurant where you build your own burger. No. No, the Bilderbergers met in Holland, and they still do sometimes. They have meetings there, and they took their name from the Bilderberg Hotel, where they met. And they are a council, an official council of 500. Now, you've heard of the Fortune 500. That's just another little name that they use. But it's a council of 500, which answers to a council of 33, the Grand Masters, which answers to a council of 13, the Grand Druids, who answer to the three ruling Rothschilds, who answer to Lucifer, Satan. You understand the hierarchy? It's right in the back of your dollar bill. It's right there. The great light, the eye, the triangle represents the three Rothschilds. Underneath that, starting at the truncated pyramid down, you've got 13 stones, which are the 13 top witches in the United States, the Grand Druid Council. Underneath that, the 33, the Grand Masters. Those are the 33 top 33rd degree Masons in the country. Underneath that, you've got the 500. The 500 are the Bilderbergers. And they are all together collectively the Illuminati. All right? Just so you understand how that works. And they are for real. That involves the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission. And by the way, if you doubt that they're there, I heard them talk on the radio one time. Wisconsin Public Radio was bombarded one time, and I don't know if I had anything to do with it or not, my newsletter, but they got a representative of the Trilateral Commission to come on the air via telephone. And he was saying, some people say we are a conspiratorial organization. He said, that's far from the truth. Far from the truth. And a caller called in and said, well, do you keep track of the people that oppose you? He said, we have files full of people, information on people that oppose us. He said, we know who they are. We know who opposes us. Well, if they're a good group, why would they care? You see? It's really something. These guys get proud. They start talking and suddenly pride takes over, because remember, that's what caused Satan to fall. Pride. And pride takes these guys over, and pretty soon they're running off at the mouth, and they got both feet in their mouth before they realize what they're doing. Here's what Dr. Henry Kissinger had to say at this meeting. Listen carefully. Today, Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. I'm going to pause to give you time to think about these statements. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. Notice, tomorrow they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. That's Dr. Kissinger. Now think about that. He's saying whether it's a real or an imagined threat, it's going to be so bad, they're going to demand that the UN just take over for their own safety. Even the fact that somebody would talk like that or think like that shows you there's an enemy. Furthermore, he's not talking about possibilities. He's talking about a definite plan of action. He said, tomorrow they will be grateful. Now, there's one thing here that I want to point out. He says, the one thing that every man fears is the unknown. I don't fear the unknown. I hope you don't fear the unknown. There's a lot of things we don't know. I don't even know what the guy next door is doing. You see, what he's saying here is we have to keep people ignorant, we have to keep them stupid, we have to keep them from being educated by keeping them indoctrinated, and then we got them because they'll be afraid all the time. We've got to strike fear into people by keeping them in the dark. But it's saying their individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Granted to them. Out of our good favor, out of the goodness of our heart, first we'll scare you to death, see? There's this big enemy, this awful thing's going to happen, we'll scare you to death, and then out of the goodness of our heart, we will grant you security by coming in and just taking over, taking everything you got. You know, running up down your streets with tanks. You don't have to worry. Nobody would dare stand up against us. If everybody's hiding in their basement, there won't be any crime. See, that's the Brady Bill carried out to its ultimate extreme, isn't it? All right? So if you want one of these little packets here, I'll have them. Another nice little thing in here is H.R. 2535, which is a bill. I don't know how far this is going to get. But Congressman Benjamin A. Gilman from New York has entered a bill to get the UN out of the U.S. and get the U.S. out of the UN. And there is a list here. You can write, call, send your stormtroopers out, whatever you need to do. But anyway, you can make your voice known that you would like the UN out of the U.S. and the U.S. out of the UN. Give them the bum's rush right out of the harbor. Amen. So anyway, that's on there. Here's another little thing. See, this is just the past couple days I get all this material. It's flooding in. The newsletter is growing so fast I can't keep up with it. I don't know what I'm going to do. But we're just going to try. Yeah. Okay. We'll see what... I may need your help, but we'll try to reach as many people as we can. Here is a communication that came through the computer system at the University of Iowa. It says, attention all. I guess that means us. If it says all. I got your attention? The FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, has decided, in the interest of tracking down terrorists and criminals, it will soon engage with the phone companies to place a random tap on one out of every 10 phone lines in the United States of America. They've already worked those. They're going to randomly tap your phone. Okay? Now, they're lying. Okay? It's not 1 out of 10. It's going to be 9 out of 10. But anyway, I'll get to that. It justifies this with the logic that incidents like Waco or the World Trade Center bombing might have been prevented had the FBI tapped their lines. Boy, they've got a nerve. They're the ones who did it. And one of the reasons they did it is so they'd have an excuse to tap your lines. They plan on logging each call made from the random line and searching with a computer for certain catchphrases that indicate illegal behavior. Won't that be fun, giving them something to listen to? This allows them to monitor almost any aspect of your personal, business, or professional life. Senator Phil Graham has stated in letters to the author of this alert that he will monitor the situation. You know what that means? He's going to sit back and do nothing. But the government and the Congress are ignoring what the FBI is doing. See, they're already doing it. As citizens of the United States, by the way, I verified this on the internet through an AT&T communication that with a phone system, they have been ordered by the government to upgrade their system to meet certain standards for the FBI's use, so I know this is absolutely true. I verified this. As citizens of the United States of America, we must protect our freedom of privacy and our right to free speech. Keep in mind, this could include computer communications as well. I urge you to spread this letter to at least 5 people you know and ask them to continue it. If the FBI admits to 1 out of 10 lines, it could have the capability to monitor nearly 9 out of 10. I myself commit no illegal communications over the telephone, but I refuse to let the FBI tap my phone line without a warrant approved by a judge. You knew it took a warrant, right? Not anymore. And nobody's stopping them. They're just doing this. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they've got devices that have been planted in equipment before you knew about it. So here it goes on to say, do not let the FBI make you guilty until proven innocent. Do not let the FBI make you part of a giant fishing expedition for criminals. Do not let the FBI become the KGB or the thought police. I ask also that you send a response to me at... And he's got his email address here. I intend to gather these responses and once again mail congressmen. I also urge you to do the same. If you need more info or addresses of congressmen, feel free to mail me. And information's on here. So, anyway, we've got that. So I'll make sure you get one of these. Oh, incidentally, just to throw in, some of you would ask about the Cloister Convent list. I've been looking for that from the Sister Charlotte tapes. I haven't found it yet, but to keep you busy and interested until I find that list, I thought I'd throw this in the packet too. I think you know who this is. It's the Pope. All right? Here it shows him. Some of you may have seen this. I don't know. He's giving a Masonic handshake here to one of the other wheels in the church there. He's got his knuckle pressed with his thumb. Here's, this is taken out of a Masonic monitor, and there's the exact hand clasp right there. Just something for your reference files. Now, I knew he was a Mason. A lot of people don't like to believe that, but his predecessor was killed on the 33rd day that he was Pope. And then he took his place. I don't think that's a coincidence. And if you're interested, here you've got the Pope kind of cavorting here with a woman and a young child. And there's another photograph with him on a double date. A different woman besides this other one here. So just something for your reference files. And there's another little thing here. Why am I doing this? There are about a billion people in this world that think he's infallible. That he's the head of the church. I think we better turn the light on. Here's one. It says Chicago Sun-Times, clear back in 1980, an unusual papal audience. Now, I'm not going to hold this one up, but he's watching a group of dancers, and they're far less than decent. And you have to wonder, this holy man, what he should do is say, get them out of here and tell them to get some clothes on. But here is to show this lecherous man staring at these, and that's exactly what he's doing, he's like this, at all these girls dancing around these little costumes in this papal audience. Come on. Somebody needs to call him on this. I think so. But anyway, you can see it for yourselves. I wouldn't hold that up in the sanctuary here. I wouldn't want to do that. So now you've got official merchandise. That's an interesting thing. Vatican-approved official merchandise. Didn't I just read last Sunday in Ezekiel where it talked about the merchandise, the traffic, and so forth of his economic activity? It's right there in the Bible, isn't it? Ruth? Well, you have to remember, too, that the Pope has been touting UN for a long time. The UN is going to be the thing that's going to put us all together in peace. The UN loves the Pope, and the Pope loves the UN. And do you realize that in the UN Charter, it was stipulated in advance there is to be no mention of God, no mention of Jesus Christ at all, ever. But the Pope loves it. He endorses it. In fact, when the Pope was there at one of the meetings, he's been there a couple of times now at the UN, he ended his speech, gave this big speech on how the UN was the answer, and then he ended his speech by saying, "So mote it be," and stamped his foot three times. You know who does that? Up in the lodge. Up in the lodge, so mote it be. You know what they do after every, in a Wiccan circle, when the witches get together, and they have their ritual meetings, and their time of calling on spirits and so forth, they end each portion of that with, so mote it be. Now what's the Pope doing using words like that if he isn't one of them? It's shoot down night, isn't it?
Thank you.
I had heard that he was actually a salesman for IG Farben. I don't know if... I've heard that. It may very well be true. I know he was selling for a German company, trying to work his way through school to become a priest. So he was working as a salesman, but I don't have any details on it. So let's put it this way. There are some very, very questionable things about that man, and I don't think he's infallible. He's inflammable, but I don't think he's infallible. Well, hallelujah. Got to keep fighting here. Now, you probably wonder, why did I take all this time and tell you all these things? Well, for a number of reasons, but one of them is Isaiah chapter 4 only has 6 verses. And and we're still going to be all right. And I've already covered the first one somewhat. Remember in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, I started out by saying, and the scripture tells us, and in that day 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And I pointed out the fact that this verse tells us that all these people out there want to be called Christian, but they want to be able to do anything they want. We'll provide our own bread. We'll provide our own clothes as a church now. All right? We'll provide our own music, our own activities. You know, if you look at the 7, you wonder what these 7 women are. There are 7 churches in the book of Revelation. The false church is called a whore, an unfaithful woman, an ungodly woman. But you find God has taken his church and he looks at it in 7 ways, because there are 7 basic primary conditions that the church would be in at any given time. Now, some people have tried to make these into church ages and run them sequentially. Like, first you have Ephesus, that there was a time of Ephesus, but that's gone. And then, of course, there was a time of Sardis and a time of Philadelphia, Laodicea, all of them, that they were marked off in periods of time. There is no evidence for that. And I know who started that mess too, but any of these conditions can exist in the church at any time, anywhere. We can be like Laodicea and say, we are rich, we are increased with goods, we have need of nothing. You have to be a moron to think that here. Huh? Amen. But Robert Schuller would be one who maybe would say that, with his Crystal Cathedral. Smiley. Remember him? Got the big plastic smile all the time while he introduces his favorite guru or his favorite New Age leader or whatever he's introducing. Terrible situation. What are these people saying? They demand to be called Christian. We are Christian, but they're living like the devil. They're doing anything they want to do, bringing in any kind of music they want to bring in their rock bands, their weirdo stuff. I'll tell you, did you ever see some of these guys, Striper and what are some of those other ones? I generally look at them and forget them because they're repulsive. Long hair and tight clothes, incredibly ugly. And up there trying to put so-called Christian words to music that'd scare the devil himself if he had a mind to listen to it. If you can call it music. Always with a driving beat. Boom, boom, boom. Huh? Why do they have to have that driving beat all the time? Where did that come from? Inquiring minds want to know. You know, back in Israel, when they started to look at the heathen nations round about them, and they saw them doing these heathen, pagan rituals, like taking little babies and killing them, you know, like they do in the abortion clinics now. See, now it's done very tastefully. Now you've got a medical doctor who has sworn by Apollo and all the gods,
and his Hippocratic oath, right? They kill all these babies. They did the same thing back then. They threw them in a furnace. They threw them into the arms of a flaming idol and killed them in order to drown out the screams of some of those who finally woke up and realized what was going on. They had the driving and beating drums. That's why God referred to that area as the Valley of Tophet, which means the beating of the drums, because they would pound those drums to drown out the screaming that would go on when they realized they're burning babies alive. That's where the beat came from. The beat goes on, the beat goes on. Remember that? Pounding with a rhythm to the brain. La-di-da-di-dee, la-di-da-di-da. Huh? And isn't that the attitude of the people? La-di-da. Let it go on, let it pound, let it drive, let it drown out the sound of what's really happening. There's death in the camp. You see? That's why you've got to have those drums of the sound of death, 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 death. And then you look at some of the people singing that stuff and what they put right on the covers of their albums and CDs, and now it's all CDs, you know, compact disc. But they're very blatant about some of this stuff. And even if they select words that would perhaps be designed not to offend or would be clandestine enough to disguise their offense, you can't ignore the sound of the driving drum beat. And it does not come from God. It's spiritual. It comes from somewhere else. And it's captivating. That's why people get hooked on it. That's why people have to have a fix. That's why as quick as they can get to the radio, quick as they can get the thing, it's got to go on. Where's the on switch? Huh? Where's the on switch? Because you're addicted in your system. You might say, what's that got to do with Isaiah? I'm talking about what's going on in churches. Why? Where has this come from? What is it doing? See, I suppose young people today would look at me as an old fogey. I just turned 46 today. Thank you. But there was a time when I was out there with the Beatles, huh? And with the Rolling Stones and with the Animals and the Guess Who and Simon and Garfunkel and the Dave Clark Five, gag me with a spoon. Huh? And all that kind of stuff. Oh yeah, I was hip, I was with it. Steppenwolf. Huh? Chicago, yeah. Well, at least they had a little band. I mean, they had a little orchestra, but still. Yeah, terrible stuff. Sure, I was in the middle of all that stuff. And you know why I liked it? I liked it because it was occult, and so was I. I wasn't saved. I was lost. I was on the road to destruction. And I liked it because there were occult messages in it that would captivate. I knew what they were singing about. That's why it just fit right into my life. I still remember what the words are. In fact, I've been wanting to find time to do a videotape showing the occult side of all of these songs. And I don't know where I'll find that time, but by the grace of God, someday I will. It's been a project I've worked on for 2 years as far as putting this together. I know what I want to do. I just have to find the time to do it and get it taped. Ruth?
Identify that with that era. I mean, I'm
Well, remember the remember some of the songs about the revolutions? How about the Beatles song about the revolution, huh? And how about the song Imagine? What was that about? One world government, everything being taken away from you, nobody owns anything. Imagine John Lennon as he sang, imagine no possessions. I can't imagine no possessions. No, let them come and try. But you see, and they are trying. But what's he singing about? Some called it communism, but it's worse than that. It's the age-old plan of Satan for one world government where you have no rights. As this French leader said not long ago, George Hunt heard him say it. He said, you Americans, he said, all you talk about is rights, rights, rights. He said, very soon you will see what it means to have no rights. They're very confident. I mean, that's the kind of people we're dealing with. Remember, anybody remember the Guess Who? Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land they'll be given away when we all live together. Huh? What are they singing about? These songs about revolution and riot and destroy and tip everything over. And remember the Oshkosh riots? These little things they have nowadays are nothing compared to that. They were tipping over fire trucks and cars and throwing equipment out the windows. Massive riots. What started those riots? Well, while they were singing songs about revolution, you had witch covens gathering together and casting spells, calling up the principality of Medit, one of the seven principalities, to incite, with his power spirits under him, to incite riot and revolution. In fact, Louise Huebner, a well-known witch, was featured in a halftime performance at a football game in California back in the, I believe it was 1969 or 1970, and in that halftime performance, she called up the spirit of Medit, the spirit of rebellion, to go out and cast spells and send spirits across the nation. And everybody laughed and thought it was just a lot of fun. But immediately after she did that, riots spread across the country. Rioting on the college campuses. Rioting everywhere. So it's not a little game. See, what they should have done is gone down there and tied her to a stake and struck a match, according to the Bible. But they applauded her. And then you had riot after riot after riot after riot. She's one of the members, by the way, of the Council of 13. She's one of the Grand Druids, Louise Huebner. Sybil Leek used to be on it. She's dead. She knows better now. There are others. It doesn't matter right now. Let's continue on. But I'm telling you, we're in this thing, and it's going fast. Keep praying. We're making progress, too, in other ways. In fact, it tells us in verse 2, you got all these churches now, they're saying, we'll do it our way. But you better call us Christian. See the point? You better call us Christian. Even though we're doing our own thing. Now watch, in verse 2 it says, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. How can the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious in a day like that? And it says, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely. Here it is, for them that are escaped of Israel. Have you escaped? Amen. See, we in here tonight that are serving God, we have escaped. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We are beholding this activity around us, which could be discouraging, except for the fact that what they've got is not mine, and what I've got is not theirs. You see that? Right in the midst of this whole thing, there's safety. There's real peace, because it's the kind only God can give. And they can't scare you unless you let them. And they can't intimidate you unless you let them. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, now who is Zion? Not what the world thinks it is. The ones who claim to be Zion aren't Zion. Think about that. What it's referring to here in Scripture is not any kind of a Zion thing on earth. It's talking about the hill of Almighty God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. And I always have to qualify this. It's not talking about that city by the Mediterranean. It's not talking about that real estate there. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. The filth of the daughters of Zion. When did he wash away the filth? When he paid the great price by suffering and dying on the cross. For the Bible says, he shall save his people from their sins. His people. Amen. You know, I was listening to my children talk. Sometimes I like to get a little feedback on the preaching. Because sometimes people will say, "Oh, that was a good message. That was interesting. That was really good. And it's nice to hear that. And I always appreciate that." But the best feedback you can get is from your own children, see. I thought this was kind of cute. My three youngest girls there were talking, and I don't even remember which one said this. But one of them said, "Wasn't that something what Dad was preaching about Sunday?" And by the way, this refers back to verse 24 of chapter 3. Maybe I should read it first, and then I'll tell you what they said. "And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty." Talking about the backslidden women and how God was going to judge them. Anyway, these girls were talking, and one of them said, "Isn't that something what Dad was preaching about? In the last days, women are going to stink." I thought that was a classic line. Well, some of them do. Some of them do. Yep. Oh, I'll tell you, that's pure gold. Amen. Funny how you can remember some things. All right. So it tells us then, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning. Thank God. That's not purgatory, by the way. Spirit of burning here is talking about the fire of God coming down and purging. And incidentally, God said he put his fire in the very mouths of his prophets and of his people. Did you know that? God said to Jeremiah that he'd have fire in his mouth. You start talking to people and sometimes they feel like they're getting burned. Did you ever lay it on real hot and real heavy? And they start to get real uncomfortable and you start to make sense. They start to listen and you're starting to make sense to them. And, "Oh, this can't be." And you get them to a point and all of a sudden they find the off switch. And there you are. And you keep going, but they've, you know, it's mission aborted. Yeah. Anyway, it says in verse 5, "And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense." God has promised you, the Almighty of heaven has promised you a defense in these days. A defense. Do you realize how many evil
designs have been planned to try to destroy you already, and you're not destroyed?
Do you realize how many spells have probably been cast? I know spells have been cast on me. I've heard from witches that threaten me. I know. But they don't work. The reason they don't work is there's a defense. There's a God in heaven. In fact, it says in verse 6, "And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain." So anything that would threaten you, what do you have? It tells us there is a shadow. That holy shadow of the Almighty from heaven that guards you against the heat they're trying to throw at you. You got to keep that in mind, and if you can't believe that, you're in a bad way. If you can believe it, you'll find there is help. There is shelter from the storm. And there's a storm a-brewing, you can be sure of it. Well, praise God. That's what this chapter is really telling us. You know, I was reading into chapter 5, and I have concluded in my mind after reading chapter 5, which I'm going to deal with next. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but after reading chapter 5, I am convinced that that is one of the most profound chapters in all the Bible. That chapter has so much in it that is so powerful that I could just read it and read it and read it again. That chapter tells you everything that's happening right now. If you know how to look for it, it's in there. What am I doing? I'm building up a little excitement for Sunday. Now, I guarantee you'll read this. You'll read this, and then you'll come and hear this, and you'll say, "Oh, yeah, I didn't know that was in there." "Oh, that's in there, too." And that, and that. It's going to bounce out all over at you. There's so much power in that chapter. I can't wait to get into it and deal with it. Because I don't know what I'm going to say. That's the way I operate. I just leave it up to the Lord. I have no plan. Just come up here and see what happens. And I'm excited about it. But I'm also excited tonight to realize that there is a shadow of God that's protecting me from the heat of the enemy. Just what, like when Israel was out in the wilderness, there is a pillar of fire before me by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And it's the wisdom and it's the understanding that He has given in this book. And it's the leading of His Spirit. And it keeps me from involvement in the world, in the stupidity, in capitulating with the enemy and doing the things they're doing out there. It keeps me from it. And aren't you glad for that cloud? For that shadow of the Almighty that overshadows you and watches over you. Amen. Well, why don't we stand tonight? We're finishing slightly early. So mark this on your calendar. It's a first. Usually we go right up to the last minute or a little over. Well, I don't know what you've learned tonight that you didn't already know, but we need to be reminded always of the lateness of the hour, of the threat at hand, but also that if we will pray and trust and believe that there is a hand that will lead us and help us that they don't know about. Jesus said one time, "I have bread that you know not of." They didn't even know it exists. You have to understand something. People out there don't have any concept of what you've got or how you think. They don't know. They really don't know. And I realize this could be a doctrinal discussion, but the devil can't read your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking. You see, he can only watch your actions and try to read them and figure out what you're thinking. I'll tell you, he doesn't like to see you pray. He doesn't like to hear you pray. He doesn't like to see you read this book or do what's right, because it really throws a heavy hindrance into what he's doing. And when we begin to make contact and communicate with other people, that there's a God in heaven, there's a judgment coming, this world has been taken over already. Not completely in a one-world government, almost. Remember, they can't finish it? They're going to get right up to it and can't finish it because of Daniel 2:44. You knew that, didn't you? Because the kingdom of God has been set up. Daniel 2:44 says that they're not going to be able to set up a kingdom after he sets up his. And his is set up. His is established. Yeah. In fact, a lot of people used to know that. Now everything's so twisted, people can't think straight. You remember the nursery rhyme about the egg? About Humpty Dumpty sitting on a wall and having a great fall? And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them together again? That was written about the many attempts at one world government after Jesus first came. Because before he came, there was always a one world government, an empire. Since then, there never has been one. And there won't. And as close as they are, that just tells me how late it is. They can't win. History tells us they can't win. The Bible tells us they can't win. So have faith. Oh, and watch those nursery rhymes too. If you ever want to do a little study, if you ever have any time on your hands, other than your wristwatch. I used to wear a wristwatch, but time was always hanging heavy on my hands. It was a big one, you know. So, anyway... study some of these nursery rhymes and see what they're talking about. Full of witchcraft. Some of them are actual spells. Some of them are witches' chants that I won't quote any right now. But there are. You can get a book on Mother Goose. That's an interesting name for her too, Mother Goose. Go to the library sometime. Get a book on Mother Goose. They'll think, what, are you going through your second childhood? And look at what the children have been brought up on. Occult rhymes. Hit me up later. Maybe I'll tell you a couple and what they mean. But anyway, we're going to close. Remember to pray. Don't worry, I'll see that you get one of these things. And keep the faith. Amen. Be right with God. Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight. Thankful that we're in thy kingdom and not of this world. And I pray that thou wouldst strengthen our faith greatly and lift us up in the power of thy name and of thy strength. Lift us up, O Lord, to do thy will. Lead us and direct us, we humbly ask thee, O God, that thou wouldst help us to serve thee faithfully without fear, and help us, Lord, to go forward always, depending upon thee, accepting thy promises. I pray that thou wouldst bless thy people tonight, that thou wouldst be with them, strengthen their faith, lift them up, O God, in the power of the Holy Ghost. And let the powers of this world be driven away. Let every devil be rebuked, bound, and cast away from our lives. Give us victory, O Lord, and protection against all the enemy. And we thank thee for it. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.